Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex with a capital X. Can I get an amen? Can I get an A, women? I want to welcome you to the little love church of the Bonobo Way in the village of Bonoboville. I am the Irreverend Dr. Susan Block, your servant and your mistress of the airwaves. And it's my 19th bedside chat of the coronapocalypse. Ooh, I don't know about woohoo for that, but that's what it is. It keeps going and we keep going. Inspired by our president, FDR's fireside chats, here to comfort and inform and inspire and eroticize you. Yeah, you know FDR eroticized some of those ladies, including my grandma, so, you know. We continue that great tradition in our own way, inspiring you to seize the day in a bonobo way. Peace through pleasure. So today, my homage to the naked Athena. Yes, indeed, brave bonobo-esque goddess, protester, rising up from the tear gas streets of the Battle of Portland to confront the camo-clothed, heavily armed fascist. Yes, let's use the F word. Finally, it's another F word. Fascist goons. Yes. Invading her fair city on orders of the Trumpists. And there she is, speaking naked truth to fascists. Heavily armed power. That's a variation on speaking truth to power. Yeah, naked truth. Anyway, my homage to her and my review of Mary Trump's great book, Too much and never enough, how my family created the world's most dangerous man. Stripping down Uncle Donnie. In a way, Mary Trump is a literary naked Athena, stripping her own emotions bare and stripping her Uncle Donnie to show the emperor with no clothes has some major, major shortcomings. So it's in Counterpunch right now, brothers and sisters. It's in America's best political newsletter, according to Outback. And thanks to Naked Athena, yes, and the wall of moms, and the wall of dads, the fathers against fascists, and the wall of vets, and the wall of lawyers, all these great Portland protesters. Well, the fascist federalist goonies have retreated. How about that? Woohoo! Let's hear it for Portland. Yeah. I mean, yes, the doofus Trumpus tweeted that they weren't leaving right around the time that they were getting ready to leave. And also around that time, he tweeted something about demon sperm, or a lady who supports demon sperm and says, you know, you should eat Trump sperm to protect yourself from the coronavirus. Anyway, around that time, oh, and also delaying the election. That's another good one. Yeah. People are saying he did that to distract from his limp economy. Not that that's anything to celebrate, brothers and sisters, because we're all going through it in the coronapocalypse. But, yeah, they left. They left Portland. Yay to the Naked Athena. And everybody else, and yes, they are probably on to other cities. They are, in fact. But this just shows that we, the people, from the wall of vets to the Naked Athena, we, the people, can prevail in the bonobo way. Yeah. Mostly. Very little violence from the protesters. I'm not going to say none, but very, very little, especially compared to the feds and the Portland police. So yes, we can prevail in the bonobo way against the fascist threat. That isn't all Trump, but yeah, we got to get rid of him. Meanwhile, coronavirus is sweeping the land. So mask up, brothers and sisters. You like my peacock number here? You know, have fun with it. Fashion. Mask fashion. Woohoo. And there's also a lot of sex scandal going around. A lot of sex panic. Ooh, and some of it's really scary. I know. It scares me. Hey, it's kind of spreading like the Rona. Because, you know, there's some bad sex out there, but there's a lot more good sex out there. And, you know, people love to talk about sex. Of course. It's like people's favorite topic. But they feel bad about it. They feel guilty. And they feel shame if they just talk about it in a positive way. And they often are shamed. It's not just a feeling. They are often shamed for being sex positive. And so, of course, when you talk about sex scandal, that makes it okay, even though it really makes it kind of terrible. But you're talking about sex and getting all excited. You can feel it. I mean, on social media, people just, whoa, those erections are rising and blood is boiling. Wetness. Oh, is that the heat or is that the scandal? I don't know, but it's certainly compelling. And, you know, there's a lot of sex panic, and some of it is about something truly awful. Some of it is about something that really happened. And some of it is not. Some of it maybe isn't true. It's hard to know. And in the meantime, sex in general is just getting a really bad rap, which it's gotten throughout history. But when you think you made some progress in the sex positivity department, then the sex panic takes it all away. Well, we have Naked Athena. Not that her protest was specifically sexual, although of course it was. I mean, I got turned on looking at her. It certainly inspired my sex with my 28-year marriage husband later, thinking about Naked Athena in our threesome. But it also inspires me politically. See, I think they don't cancel each other out. In fact, I feel that sex is a driving force. And it's the essence of peace through pleasure, which is the bonobo way. Also the way of female empowerment. The bonobo females are very strong, and they don't take no shit from the guys. They rule. But the guys are happy. Yeah, it's the bonobo way. Male well-being. You take care of your guys, and part of that is through sex. I'm not saying that any women should have sex with any guys that they don't want to have sex with. Not at all. But maybe if we just had a little more sex positivity, these guys would be as resourceful as bonobo boys. Right now we confine them to be a man. It's tough. Tough. But we're here for you, having a bedside chat. And I'm going to have some very interesting and sexy guests tonight, as I usually have interesting sexy guests, but tonight, yeah, very, very much so. One returning and one brand new. And if you want to give us a call, I think our phones are okay. Yes, thumbs up. We had some phone issues, but now you could call us to ask a question or make a comment if you so feel moved. And yes, you have to use your phone as a phone. I know that's really challenging. Oh, yes, the phone number is 626-461-5212. And if my guest is ready, my first guest, yeah. Okay, I'm excited to lower my mask because now I'm going to have an intimate chat with Lilith Cat, and she's back after, I think, like a couple years or a year and a half, I guess. She was on the show with Mistress Tara Indiana and the dominatrixes against Donald Trump. And she was fabulous. So I'm very excited to have Lilith Cat back. Hi. Okay, well, we've got a lot of applause for you here. And that's cool. And so, hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, you know, hanging out in the corona apocalypse. How are you surviving?
I'm managing. I'm just trying to stay busy.
Yeah, what are you busy with?
So I started doing a lot of online stuff because I'm a dominatrix, so I mostly do in-person sessions, but I've been transitioning to doing online sessions and selling clips. I started on OnlyFans, so
yes,
I've been working on that.
That's the gig. So, yeah, I mean, I said you came with dominatrixes against Donald Trump, which, of course, means you're a dominatrix, I guess, although I guess there were some other people. But that's how we met you. And you were kind of quiet in the beginning of the show. And then it was, I guess, more or less your turn to handle the Donald Trump surrogate. And you really took control. You grabbed his balls and twisted them, and then you sat on his back and spanked him, and then you gave him a golden shower. Like, I mean, Mistress Tara called it the car wash. It was just so. Just sparkling and full of liquid goddess power. And yeah, very impressive. I was impressed. Mm.
Look at this. Whoa.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Straddle him, goddess
so,
Lilith.
Here. Yeah, there you go. Are you righty or lefty? Okay. So we're righty.
And she's spanking him with the Forbes magazine. Just like Stormy.
You like getting your pussy grabbed?
Whoa.
Yeah.
We got some BDSM going on here. Whoa.
Yeah.
We got, you know, this show.
Put him in his place. Whoever's
oh,
gotta
Goddess
be the
Lilith. Most. Ooh, this is exciting. Yeah. She's new. And she is now examining the balls. Or maybe she did something with her nails. And up goes the skirt. Beautiful tattoos.
Wow.
Wow. And she's now hovering over
him. Oh, yeah.
Oh, and now comes the
wow.
shower. Whoa.
That she is talented.
She is good.
She is talented.
This is what I call the car wash technique.
Yes. I am always impressed when I can see someone who can do this. I can do this. There's not too many people who can. Wow. Yeah, all over his fucking face and his mouth and his eyes. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, she's
this is
really
what you want. You
just
know
like
this
a
is
waterfall
what you want, you fucking
golden
bitch.
Torture.
Yeah.
Woo.
Woo. Wow.
Oh, she's really releasing.
Yeah.
Definitely releasing.
Beautiful. She's the top dad spokesmodel.
She really, that was amazing, Goddess Lilith.
That's dad spokesmodel.
A beautiful rush of womanly Yay! Waterfalls.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a lot of fun being on the show. I've never done anything like that before for an audience, so it was very cool.
Yeah, we had a lot of people over that night. We had a lot of other guests and some audience. Now, of course, the show is very intimate. That's why I call it a bedside chat.
But then it was more of a bacchanal. I think we called that show Orgy Erotique versus, or in Dad Politics. Dad being, of course, the acronym for Dominatrixes Against Donald Trump. So I guess, I don't know, are they still doing stuff? Do you know?
I'm in a group chat with them, and so they're still doing stuff, but it's been a little hard with the pandemic. I don't think I've done an event with them in a while, because I actually moved to Dallas for a year, and I just moved back in March to California. So
wow!
But then everything got shut down.
Okay, so you just moved back to California. You were in Dallas for a year during the corona apocalypse or before?
Back the first week of March. So, like, I was home for maybe 2 weeks and then everything got shut down.
Wow. It's very disconcerting, especially to a dominatrix who's used to having her way, huh?
Yeah. It's a lot
to process.
Yes, yes. Well, nature, you know, Mother Nature is the dom to us all. So you're still involved with Tara and the Dominatrixes Against Donald Trump, huh?
Yeah.
I haven't done an event with them in a while, but as soon as we're able to again,
yes.
I definitely want to. I usually I think the last event I did was DomCon. But that, of course, was canceled this year.
Well, no, actually, I am here to tell you it is not canceled. It's just virtual, which I know it's not as kind of exciting, intimate, fun as getting together with your friends and doms and subs in person, but they are going to do a big DomCon Zoom party kind of thing, and I am the mistress of ceremonies along with Simone Justice and somebody else, and it's so, I mean, it's virtual. Everything's virtual this year, at least. So we hope you can stop by.
Yeah,
I have to look into it, but I definitely will be there.
Uh-huh. I saw you there. Was it last year or the year before?
I was there
both years, but I think it was last year that I saw you.
Yeah.
I think we took some pictures together.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I love DomCon, you know, I love dominatrixes and the whole kink scene, and of course bonobos are my thing, and bonobos are the femdoms of the wild. And Tara, Mistress Tara, was signing people up to vote. Now, I wondered, because I don't know if I asked you this when you were here with us, about... first of all, your name, you take it from the Lilith of the Bible, the one that Adam was first with but couldn't control, so God sent her away and she had sex with demons because she would not be controlled by Adam. Is that what inspired you to take her name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inspired me.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Did you grow up with the Bible, or did you just hear of her?
I was raised Christian. I was Christian for 16 years.
Uh-huh.
But
I didn't
really learn about her until probably I was a bit older, maybe 17 or 18.
Yeah, they don't teach her. They don't teach Lilith in Sunday school. That's for sure. That's true. But you know, spunky girls always find out about Lilith. It's true. It's true. So you did. And do you sleep with devils?
I do.
I actually just took off my shirt that says Satan is my daddy.
Ooh. Wow, that's
but it's around here somewhere.
That's impressive. Well, you know, I follow 666 people on Twitter, so I'm with you there. So, and Satan's, you know, Pan, really, the god of the wild. So, have your feelings about Donald Trump changed at all since you were pissing all over him on my show?
No,
I think I still have the same feeling towards him, and
I
reposted those photos recently. I took some pictures with Tara at a different event of me. We had Donald Trump in a diaper as a baby.
Right. The Donald baby, which is really no stretch. He is such a big baby. Trumpty Dumpty. Wow. Well, I think he's going to fall from the wall, his wall. But you never know. So everybody has to vote. So if they let us vote, you know, if they don't cancel the election. But you are a pretty politically, socially involved dominatrix, you know, which is a great thing. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I definitely
owe that to Tara. I don't really know anything about politics, but she's been helping me with that. So.
Ah, so you were not very political. What made you become a dominatrix?
So I actually became a dom when I was 19. I had a friend suggest the career path for me, and I looked it up online. I had no idea what a dominatrix was, and I looked it up, and I was just so blown away and so intrigued.
Wow.
I did a ton of research, and I've
been running with
it ever since.
I'm blown away that you were only 19. Wow. So now, where were you? Were you in L.A. or were you somewhere else?
Orange County.
Orange County, of course. The birthplace of so many doms and porn stars and,
swingers.
Swingers. It's the bedroom community. Right. And a lot of Donald Trump supporters are there. So I don't know if you come from an area like that, but you've, you know, evolved, obviously.
Yeah,
my parents are Donald Trump supporters. So.
They are. And do they know about what you do with the dominatrixes against Donald Trump?
I don't think they
know about that, but they do know that I'm a dom. But we don't really talk about it a lot. I don't think they approve of my career path.
Oh, but you see them and you talk to them.
Yeah, I do.
Uh-huh. Do they think you have a different career path? I mean, do you have a different career path? I mean, we're actually going to talk about something that is related, very much related, but a form of activism that you're into now that maybe is a different career path, bigger than sex, right?
Yeah.
That's something that Lexa has brought to me to do with her, and it's been a lot of fun. This week we've been doing Zoom drinking for donations, so we're raising money for the Cupcake Girls. Are you familiar with the Cupcake Girls?
And I want to talk about them in a minute. I do want to say that, first of all, I wasn't familiar when you first invited me to do a video, and I was just very taken with the idea of doing a little gratitude video that was for a sex worker of my choice who just really helped me, inspired me in my own sex work. And I'm a sex therapist, so of course I do sex work. And so there's so many that I could thank. But I chose to thank Betty Page because I guess she's such an icon. And she did inspire me. I was privileged to interview her in 1996. And she was just coming out of her kind of hiding almost in the sense that she had quit being a sex worker, pretty much, at least publicly, and she was very active in her church, and so she felt she had to keep it on the down low, everything. But meanwhile, this cult of Betty Page arose, and then she decided, okay, I'm going to write a book about my life, and I'm going to come out. And the first show she did was my show, and they said she was going to be on for 10 minutes, but she was on for an hour and a half, so that was pretty cool. And she really, made me understand how, helped me to understand. I don't know if she made me understand, but she helped me to see how important sex work is to a healthy, sex-positive society. And also, we have bangs, so... and you have bangs. Your bangs are a little different now.
Yes.
I just cut them the other day. I've been playing around with them. I haven't decided if I want to keep them straight or what I want to do with them. But I think it's really awesome that you put out Betty Page.
Yeah, I've got a little chapter on her and my interview with her in our Spankin' Art magazine. And she's inspired so many people, I guess, is another reason I chose her, is because I knew that, you know, a lot of people who maybe didn't talk to her but looked at her a lot, you know, men and women, have been inspired by her. I didn't talk about this, but one thing that was very inspirational about her is that she did the kinkiest, nastiest things, well, maybe not the kinkiest, nastiest things, but she did kinky, nasty things, and always looked like she was having fun. Always looked, and, you know, I asked her, were you always having fun? And she did say that most of the time she was. A few times she was uncomfortable, like when she was the jungle girl, and they tied her up, and her feet were off the floor. And she was like, I can't stay like this. They had to cut her down. But mostly she had a great time. And she looks it. She just got that kind of face that projects joy. And anyway, so I didn't see your gratitude video yet. Who do you thank?
Yeah, so
still has not been released, but I actually thank King Lexa in my video.
Oh, well, that's a good segue, because I do want to talk about Bigger Than Sex, because, like I said, I didn't really know what it was. I just thought this is a great thing to support sex work, is all I knew. And I since then have been finding out more. But let's get King Lexa on the line, and we'll have a little chat.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, I'm very happy to have you. You know, you're a good friend of Lilith Cat, who, is she there? Is Lilith there too? I can't see. Oh yeah, there she is. Okay. Max, your camera is right in front of them. So I can't see them. So great. So we're all here. So, King Lexa, we're going to talk about Bigger Than Sex, and we're going to talk about the Cupcake Girls. But first, I want to just talk about you a little bit, or maybe a lot. I know you're friends with Lilith, so you must be very cool. And she thanked you for your help in the sex work industry. So that's very special. And I think a lot of people are wondering why a beautiful, womanly woman like yourself is a king and not a queen. So, what gives?
Let me explain. Where do I begin? So, I like gender role play. I like the whole power exchange in BDSM. And king, to me personally, I am a woman. Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah.
I just identify my energy as masculine, and being a female supremacist, I also find that why should a king only be a man when a king could be a woman? adding on to that, when a man calls me king, it also is very depowering on their end. And all those facets of King Lexa makes me who I am.
And maybe something to do with a strap-on.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm a daddy. Let's not. I mean, you can't deny my big daddy energy.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you're also very feminine. And, you know, you have those feminine curves and qualities. But, yeah, you definitely are a strong woman, very athletic seeming. You work out, right?
Yeah, I work out is an understatement. It's a lifestyle.
Wow. So do you have any sports or activities that you like to play?
I like to consider the gym my sport. Here and there, I'll try other stuff. I like to run. I like to play tennis. I'm very athletic. I'll go hiking. But my main go-to is the gym. I love to lift weights.
And you also call yourself a findom or findom, financial dominatrix. I never know how to pronounce that. Fandom?
Findom.
Findom, okay. Mm-hmm. It sounds like something on a fish, though. So, okay. Findom, and that's a financial dominatrix. And in a way, I mean, all doms are findoms, but there's a special quality to someone who calls herself a findom.
And yeah, I wouldn't categorize all dominatrices as findoms. I would say a lot of them aren't. When it comes, at least my definition of financial domination is basically men submit to me with their finances. There's not necessarily any type of traditional play, as in whipping or spanking. The satisfaction comes from the transaction of money.
Okay, well, then it's very focused. That's true. I guess I just mean when I say that dominatrixes are not just dominant women. They're professionals, so they get paid. And
yes.
And so, in a way, they all get paid for what they're doing. And so do you. You might get paid more, I don't know. But you certainly make the paying a focus of the relationship.
You got it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so what got you into that?
Well, Lilith. Lilith got me into the traditional antiquated dominatrix, the whole dungeon, flogging, the shibari, the whole ordeal. Mm. I did that for 3 years, and I always felt that I didn't fit in exactly. I have a money fetish, and it doesn't really work when you're a traditional dominatrix. I was always trying to set the bar with my rates, and what I didn't know was that there was a thing called financial domination. When I discovered financial domination through Twitter, I was like, this is it. This is who I am. This is what I really want. I just didn't know. So I've been a financial dominatrix officially, I want to say, for a year and a half. And when I say officially, I'm talking professionally, like I actually announced it. I've been doing financial domination without knowing that there's a word for it way before then.
Getting money from men who adore you.
Exactly.
Yes, yes. And maybe worship you or just want your attention.
Correct.
And you give them something, some attention, I guess.
Yeah. You know, there definitely is a transaction. It's my attention. I humiliate them, even something as a response, but it's not expected. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not like it's plotted out. After all, it's up to you. So would you say that this is your sexual turn on or one of them?
Definitely my sexual turn on. It's, when I say sexual, I speak more towards a psychological aspect. To me, financial submission is genuine submission. Not to diminish any other sort of submission, but to me personally, if you're not submitting your finances to me, then you're not genuine in your submission to me. So that sets the tone for everything else that I could want to engage with you, but it's not going to happen without the finances in my hand.
Okay, deal. So, and is this how you are with, I guess, all your lovers? Or, I mean, not to say they're even lovers, but do you have lovers, I guess, that don't pay you or not?
You know, this is something, my whole, like, financial domination is something I carry on, not just, like outside of the camera, right? I talk about it, I make videos about it, I have ABNs, I have I1 clips. When it comes to men outside of that, I mean, it's the same thing. I don't just hang out with men to hang out with men. Men that are in my life understand their place in my life. So to be quite short, I'm a lifestyle financial dominatrix.
Right. Okay. So they all got to pay.
They all got to pay.
It's just some of them get more of you than others.
I would say so, yes. And I engage with fin subs depending on how deep they're submitting to me. And that's based on money, but not necessarily the amount, but also the consistency and the loyalty they have towards me. I care about commitment.
What about what they look like? I mean, does that?
I don't care.
You don't care. You don't get turned on by certain guys that look good. Or girls? Any girls you get turned on?
So I am. I consider myself bisexual, but not in your traditional sense. When it comes with to men, it's only a DS setting, strictly fin dom. I am kinky. I love chastity. I engage in other sorts of play. With men, it's very humiliation based. Now with women, I'm a lot more traditional. I don't really play. I don't financially dominate women. It's very vanilla, and I do have traditional sex with women. So I'm very different in areas. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So do you know why? I mean, is that because of your personal desire, or because you know women aren't going to pay for that sort of thing, most women?
You know, maybe you could answer that for me.
Well, maybe I need to get to know you better. Yeah. I guess, you know, women tend to not pay for kink as much as men, or they do when they're in a relationship with a man, like a couple might pay. Do you have any couples that come to you?
I've seen couples, not my cup of tea. And in answering your other question, not to digress, but
that's okay. Digress away.
Awesome. To humiliate a woman and degrade a woman, not that I haven't done it, because I have experienced, I believe in experiencing things in life versus just assuming that I don't like it, just doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah.
So I don't involve myself in it anymore. I've tried it. I'll probably do it again, but it's not my choice, like my cup of tea. I don't wake up wanting to do that. And I forgot your other question.
So did I. I'm sure we'll come back to it. So, but let's kind of skip along here, because I did listen to a part of your interview with our friend Maribel Blue, and we love Maribel Blue, and she loves you. I mean, she really was very enthusiastic, and you were talking about, having gotten to a certain level of success in your financial domination work and wanting to do something more and to give back to your sex work community and work with your sex work community in a somewhat different way. And so you got involved, I guess I'm kind of skipping around here, but you could fill in the blanks. You got involved with this group, the Cupcake Girls, that is doing a project with you called Bigger Than Sex. Is that all accurate?
Pretty much. Yeah, almost. Would you like me to elaborate?
Sure.
So how did this happen? I I joined this program, and I had a lot of awakenings happening in my life. I believe a lot in coaching, personal development, life coaching. So I invest a lot of my money in that. And I did this coaching, I did this program with the goal of attracting everything I want in my life. Money back then was a big thing. And when I got it, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And it was actually quite empty. And I'm like, this is really all I wanted. Like, this is it for me. This is what I'm going to be known for. Like, this, that's it. And that was disturbing. Like, if all I'm known for is making money, then I've truly failed myself as a human being, but also my community. So I decided to do something about it. I wasn't going to stay that way. So with the help of my coaches, and I joined this self-expression and leadership program, I created Bigger Than Sex because I discovered that to live a life that's not about you is the most powerful way to live a life. And I wanted women in the industry to experience that level of living, of being for someone else. And that's when Bigger Than Sex was born. And I wanted it to be tied in with a charity. Well, no, that's not how it started. I had this story about tying it in with a charity. I did not want to tie it in with the charity because, as I told my coach, I was like, I don't want another area of my life to be about money. I really don't.
But you're a financial dominatrix. I thought that was, that turned you on.
It does, but I found it so liberating for something to not be about money and be about somebody else. I didn't want to be attached to a financial goal again. Does that make sense?
Well, what makes sense is that nature seeks a balance. And when you get to a certain point in life, sometimes you want to change. And you do feel, I mean, you felt, and it seems that you still feel, that money is very important. But there's another part of you that wants to go beyond that. And I think that's great. I mean, I think it could almost be called Bigger Than Money. That might be interesting. But I mean, I don't know if you would have come to this point if you hadn't reached your goal of making the money.
It is a paradox. And I discovered that in taking on the coaching and creating a fundraiser. I was looking for charities and I discovered the Cupcake Girls. And what stood out to them about me was how quick they respond. I called them. I talked to Joy, who is the founder. I shared the vision and she was moved, touched, and inspired by it.
Okay.
And that's how it was born.
Mm-hmm. I see. So when did that happen?
I want to say a month and a half ago.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I think it's great. Certainly the gratitude videos, it gets a lot of sex workers out there, and it expresses appreciation for other sex workers, which is nice. You know, it's, as I say, very bonobo, because the bonobo females are very empowered. They have a lot of sex with each other and with the guys. They're great apes, very close to us. And yet they rule. They're the only great ape group where the females are the kings. It's true. And you know, they get their way, but they do it with pleasure. I mean, they hit sometimes, like Spank, but they never kill each other, which is also unusual in the among great apes. But in any case, I'm very excited always about movements towards female solidarity, female empowerment, and but I always want to make sure the guys are okay. If they want to be hurt, okay, but just make sure they're okay. We kind of need them. I don't know if you feel the same way, or maybe more of an Amazon look and let the guys just be sperm donors as long as they don't have demon sperm. What do you think?
If I were to have a child, I would definitely, it would be a donor. I wouldn't have intercourse with the male.
Really?
He would just serve as the donor, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Do you have intercourse with males at all?
No, it's not my cup of tea.
Okay. No PIV.
No PIV, no.
All right, all right. But you put your dildo, you do some pegging.
Yeah, like I say, I don't get fucked, I fuck.
Right. And is that because you don't like how it feels? I mean, I imagine you've tried it.
Yeah, I've tried it. Yeah, I don't like how it feels. It's not enjoyable, or else I'd be engaging in it, but I don't feel that way.
Right, okay. Well, it's all kind of making more sense in a way, or as well as getting more complicated, which is what real life is all about. So, okay, so these, so the cupcake girls, I mean, I'd heard of cupcake girls before, but you've only really been working with them for a month. I thought they were kind of a quasi-religious group that went to strip clubs and gave people makeup and tried to get them to follow Jesus. But, or maybe in your case, you, since you're also King Lex of God. That was a joke. But but I don't, I guess, because I looked on the website, they're secular.
They're based in Vegas and Oregon, and I've heard people bring that up. They're non-religious.
Okay.
So. There is some other story, and I believe it's about a different charity that has the same name somewhere in Australia.
Oh, okay. Because I have heard from strippers mostly who have been visited, I think, by cupcake girls who bring makeup and stuff and maybe cupcakes. and then, you know, I mean, they're very nice, and they talk about, you know, joining the church. And, I mean, nothing wrong with that, but is that's not the same group, right?
No, that's not the same group.
Okay. And so I'm wondering too, I know that your objective is to empower fellow sex workers. Is that, and tell me a little bit more about how you want to do that.
So with the movement that you actually took a stand in, with creating gratitude videos, Bigger Than Sex is about creating a space for sex workers to stand for something bigger than themselves, right? In this case, it's the fundraiser going on for the Cupcake Girls. So it's just a way of being to give back to the community. We also just did a fundraising game, Drink for Donations, where, I mean, it was so moving to me to see adult stars, fin doms from New York, like all over the place, just get together and host their own fun, their own drinking games and raise money. And we raised, like, I want to say the last 2 days we raised like over $1,400. And to me, that was so impressive because I wasn't even there. It was all them.
Wow. And so the $1,400 goes to the Cupcake Girls, or?
Yeah.
And what do they do? I mean, I know they don't try to get people to join a church. Do they, I mean, what, tell us what they provide.
Yeah, so the Cupcake Girls helps sex workers and sex trafficking survivors in many different ways. I mean, there's not just one way. They also are helping sex workers that have been affected by COVID with resources, therapy, the list goes on and on and on.
How have you been affected by COVID?
You know, I have been affected very positively.
Got your whole idea in the midst of the corona apocalypse, you know.
COVID was one of the main reasons why I created Bigger Than Sex. I wanted to see it's not that I wanted to see. I had no choice but to see on Twitter women who weren't findoms, because most findoms are online, but traditional dominatrices aren't. Mm. And I was seeing a lot of women who I've known personally really get affected by COVID, and yeah, it broke my heart. And I wanted to do something about it. It was unbearable for me to just watch, because you can't build an online platform overnight. This takes months, if not maybe a couple of years, to build a successful online business. And I was seeing women try, like, not that they had to do it overnight. COVID happened literally overnight. And yeah, that was one of my first motives to take action. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. You know, I think a lot of people in many different professions need help with adjusting to this new era of difficulty in physical contact with each other, but we are making other contact, you know, and we just have to learn how to do that in a way that is both gratifying and, you know, dare I say, monetizing. it's being done, you know, and a lot of sex workers need to learn to do it. And one thing about it is it's pretty much legal all around, doing things on the internet with webcam, the phone, whatever. And that brings me to another question I have, which is, I mean, how do you feel about the criminalization of certain types of sex work? Some types, you know, I'm a sex therapist, it's legal. Being a dominatrix is mostly legal. Being a prostitute, it becomes now very dicey and scary and dangerous. And what do you think about the decriminalization of sex work?
Well, sex work is work. I don't look at it as something menial. Obviously, I'm a sex worker, and I stand for anybody else that's a sex worker. I personally have not been affected, even though what I do is a gray area. Back when I was a, you know, real-time dominatrix, and I don't agree with sex work being criminalized.
Okay, good. I'm wondering if, well, I guess you're the organization that is doing the activity as the Cupcake Girls, are they trying to decriminalize the sex work that is criminalized? Is that one of their objectives?
That I'm not sure. I can't give you an answer because I don't know about what they're doing in that area.
So again, what is their main objective?
To help sex workers and sex trafficking survivors with financial assistance.
Okay.
Whatever that may look like for them. It could be dental work, it could be therapy, anything.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, they pay for it, or do they just point them in the right direction, or how does that go?
I believe it's free. I believe that's where the money that I'm raising is going to go directly towards being able to finance that for them.
Wow, okay. So it's kind of like a Medicare for sex workers. I mean, it could be. It could be that.
Yeah.
Which brings me to another issue. I don't know if you're on, you know, on top of that. But, you know, a lot of businesses had to close, obviously, in the corona apocalypse, including strip clubs. And, you know, the Trump administration doesn't want to give them COVID relief. And we have some friends that are up in Portland, which is the great protest city. And they're the, what is it, Little Devil or Lucky Devil, Lucky Devil Strip Club, Lucky Devil Lounge. And now they're doing something called Boober Eats so that their strippers can continue to work. So they're delivering food because they always did make food and you can deliver food, but it doesn't make them that much money. And it's, you know, it's a whole different thing. So, there's this, of course, gigantic stigma. I mean, one of the reasons that sex workers are so often depressed and traumatized and get themselves into bad situations. I'm not talking about trafficking now. That's a whole other subject. But just consensual, regular sex workers have difficulty partly because of the stigma attached to what they do, partly because they can't tell their family, partly because our society frowns on sex workers so much. And I don't know, I feel like that's an important goal for some organization to move that along and not just decriminalize sex work, but also work to destigmatize it.
Yeah, that's a very good point that you bring up. The system is not here to help us, and that's very unfortunate. And with the money raised, that's an area where I would want the money to go in to help
good
women who have been affected by COVID, who don't get government assistance, right? Especially the woman that you're talking about as of now that dance.
Yeah, so I just got a note that Lilith is there. Can we see everybody now? Oh, hey.
Hey.
Here we are. Lilith is back.
Yeah,
this technology has got its challenges, but we get together, and here we are, and it's nice, you know, to be able to at least see each other. Although I hope that when this is over, y'all come visit Bonoboville. Lilith has been here. Where do you live, King Lexa? Are you in California?
Orange County, yeah.
Oh, you're an Orange County girl too.
I actually live literally 5 minutes away from Lilith.
Wow. Well, that's convenient. So you're girlfriends, but you're both doms. Who dominates who?
I think we're just right there.
Wow. We saw some sexy video of you. I mean, not like X-rated,
so
but sexy video of you like shaking your ass and smoking and spitting. Well, King Lex was spitting.
Which video? I do spit a lot.
You spit a lot. Okay, so I don't know. It was a video online somewhere. We were just looking you up, and there's a video of you smoking and then spitting. And I think a slave is holding a tray.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Uh-huh. That was in L.A.
All right. Okay, I'm glad you remember. And so spitting is a thing. And what else do you are things that you two do together?
So I started sessioning with Lilith. Actually, we started like together. Basically, we've done a lot together. We've done flogging. I mean, we've done it all. I can't think of something we haven't done. We spit together. We've done golden cigarettes, right?
And so the submissive has to pay twice as much. At least. That's only fair. Right. So, okay. So, Lilith, you're back. And it's interesting that you got King Lexa into domination work. What were you doing before King Lexa?
I was a personal trainer, so I was living at the gym.
Ah, right. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Right. Those two professions kind of go together in a way. You're doming people already, telling them to work out, and in a way you're already doing the dom stuff.
Yeah, it's honestly the same thing. When I'm at the gym, I push, as a trainer, I'm pushing limits as far as how much weight they can lift, right? Because in order to build muscle, you want to break down the fiber. And
right.
In a BDSM scene, I loved pushing limits.
Right.
So same thing.
It mm-hmm. is very, very similar. You see, it's things like this, I think, that are important to the destigmatization of sex work. Kind of connecting sex and kink to the rest of life, to things that people are familiar with. You know, we're all familiar with trying to work out and how having someone coaching us helps. Well, in a way, a dom does that. I don't know. I think I'm not sure I quite get what the Cupcake Girls is after, except I'm totally with the female empowerment. Mm-hmm. And by the way, there are quite a few male sex workers too. And all sex workers do need empowerment because of the stigma. Now, Lilith, of course, you started at 19, so I can't even ask you, what did you do before? You were a schoolgirl before, I guess. Were you already acting dominant on the playground?
Oh, definitely.
Well, I got a fake ID when I was 17, so I was going to bars and making men buy me drinks.
Naughty, naughty. Okay, well, yeah, you started your financial domination.
I grew up very quickly. I was always too old for my age.
Wow. And so, yeah, you became dominant. I mean, it doesn't sound like either one of you did the submissive thing before the dominant thing. I've
never done this.
Some do that. Yeah. No. So you just were naturally dominant. Were you dominant on the playground too, King Lexa?
Yeah, I've been dominant, I want to say, all of my life. I don't know how to be anything else at the current moment.
And what does your Orange County family think about King Lexa? Do they know?
Yeah, I actually came out to my mom, my dad, and my brother back in November when I was...
Oh.
Yeah, I told them straight up. I called them. I shared it with them.
Were they shocked? And, or were they? Did they already know?
It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. My mother knows... My mother loves me, obviously, but she's happy that I'm happy.
You know, that's not so obvious. I mean, there's the obligatory love, but... The kind of love where she's happy, if you're happy, that's special, and that's something to be grateful for. So
I'm very grateful. I can share anything about what I do with my subs to my mom. My father is very proud of me, not necessarily because of what I'm doing, but who I am and what I do.
Because you make money. No, I don't know.
No, not the money. No, not the money.
Okay. Good. Well, I mean, I think parents like when their kids can get on their feet financially, you know, but yeah, I'm sure that they like that you're doing something that's bigger than sex, so to speak. Although I have to say, I'm a sex therapist and I don't think anything is bigger than sex, but I'm defining sex in a gigantic way. I mean, I just think sex is like the essence of life. It's the life force, Eros, as opposed to Thanatos. So to me, it's the creative force. It creates humans, but it also creates everything. It creates your idea for bigger than sex is your sex drive, your desire. But, you know, that's I know that society tends to think of sex as like this very specific thing that you do in the dark.
Exactly. Society thinks it was more about society viewing sex work as something menial, and we're so much bigger than what we do for a living.
Well, and that's true of, yeah, and it's like any, in a way, sex workers, I was going to say sex workers are like celebrities. Well, certainly porn stars are, or even if people have just an OnlyFans, they're kind of celebrities to their followers, their clients, and everybody wants to know that. I mean, it's a balance, you know. People want the celebrity or the sex worker to be a fantasy. At the same time, it's really, you know, exciting and draws you in to know little personal details about your favorite god or goddess.
Yeah, I agree. We are.
Yeah. So I'm sure that a lot of your fans are getting off on hearing your personal details here.
They love it when I do interviews.
I bet. Yeah. So is there any secret that you have that you want to tell? Confess.
Wow. I'm pretty much an open book. Let's see if I can think of something.
Well, while you're thinking, do you have a secret to tell, Lilith?
Yeah, I have a secret. I don't know.
Well, now, is your sex life pretty much your domination activity, or do you have lovers separate from your work?
No. So, yeah, in my sex life is totally separate from my dom life.
Oh.
I keep my sexual partners. It's usually pretty vanilla. Well, I partake in a lot of, events, I guess, kind of. Like, I've done
your voice
two
went out. What, you partake in a lot of what?
Swinger events.
Oh, swinger events.
Maybe not, like,
yay.
Swingers on the right word.
Oh, yeah,
but, like,
we
I'm
love
just, I'm very
swinger events.
Open and loose with lovers, I guess, kind
nice.
Of. I don't know.
Well, that's very bonobo.
I like to get drunk and make out with people.
That's bonobo. And so I bet your clients are excited to hear that because they feel cuckolded by your sexual activity.
Yeah, so maybe that's a better, that is a secret. But I don't really ever partake in sexual activities with any of my clients.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
but
at a party, but you I would do, probably like spit on them and walk away.
And do you keep your like regular sort of quasi vanilla lovers secret, or is that something you share with the world or not?
I don't really have any like serious lovers at the moment, so I don't really have any to share. But if I did have a boyfriend, I wouldn't feel like I'd have to hide it.
Oh, okay. And your boyfriend wouldn't necessarily be into kink?
Not necessarily.
Maybe a little open, but I don't look for, I don't really want to do BDSM in my like daily life.
Okay.
Like maybe every now and then for fun, but.
So King Lexa gave a little giggle at that. Why is that, King?
It's because I know that she doesn't want to do that in her private life. And because I know what it's like to be with someone who it's really, I don't want to say it's hard, but it's tiring when you're out being a real-time dominatrix and then you come home to your girlfriend or boyfriend and they expect you to do the same thing you just did for 5 hours.
Right. It's like, pay me. That's work. Uh-huh. So you want to do something different sometimes. Yeah, nature seeks a balance very often. Although some people are dominant all the time and some people are submissive all the time. A lot of people are a little of this and a little of that at different times. And so so you gals are in business together now. Is it business or you're both doing the bigger than sex together? It's a project. It's a movement. Kind of a business in the sense that you're raising money. Drinking for, what is it? Drinking?
Donations.
Drinking for donations. So do you do the drinking or do the viewers do the drinking? I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that, but I should get familiar with that. We should have drinking for donations, right? For the bonobos. We should do that. Get everybody drunk. Who gets drunk in this? Who's doing the drinking and who's doing the paying?
So the women are the ones doing the drinking, but the drinking is only done when someone has made a donation, minimum of $10. And in that donation, they get to also ask a question of their choice. I thought that would be a great experience for the donor. Because they get to ask three girls the same question and they get to know the answer.
After the drink. They get to
after the drink
and then the question.
What kind of drink do they get? Who is this guy?
Of course. I think Allie did. I don't know what Allie did. Allie was in the game like every day.
I was drinking vodka mostly. My day was
That's a good
Thursday
drink.
And Friday.
But
I did stop in.
Have you guys gotten a vodka sponsor yet?
I wish. I drink so much vodka. I need one.
Okay. This is your chance. You have a nonprofit. It's part of the work.
Oh, yeah. You should get a vodka sponsor.
Yeah.
Who do you have a sponsor like sneakers or something? Or that's Cupcake Girls have a like a sneakers sponsor or I don't know.
Yeah, not my sponsor. So Bigger Than Sex is really like brand new.
Right.
So.
Well, I'm excited for it. And I hope I can, you know, continue to contribute and put in a little influence in terms of, you know, the whole idea of the decriminalization and especially destigmatization. I mean, one thing we haven't talked about is SESTA-FOSTA, which was passed actually around the time when Lilith was first on the show. And it was passed by almost every senator. I want to give a shout out to Ron Wyden from Oregon, Portland, baby, because he voted for the hookers. Yep, he said, hey, you know, we can't. I mean, the whole idea is to stop sex trafficking, which nobody's for sex trafficking. I mean, except really nefarious people. But the problem with this law, I think, and a lot of sex workers think, is that it penalizes regular consensual adult sex workers and doesn't do a whole lot to catch the traffickers, either sex traffickers or any kind of human traffickers. It so far has harmed sex workers in the sense that they took down Backpage and Craigslist doesn't run ads. Yeah.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, Captain
and
Max.
And once again, the poor
suffer. Because they don't
poor.
Have
not the
high-end
rich, not the rich doctor, right. The rich, they're fine.
Right.
You know, but it's those poor people that are on the street working hard. That's who it harms.
Because they have to go back to the street because they don't have, the advertising. Of course, things are somewhat different in the corona apocalypse, but at the same time, those avenues are still not available, you know. I know that Cupcake Girls is helping trafficking victims, which I think is totally great and admirable. What I get very concerned about is that the police confuse consensual sex work with trafficking.
10 minutes.
Yes.
Okay. So
10 minutes.
I think it's important, and I did see a differentiation on the Cupcake Girls site between, of course, trafficking and consensual sex work. I guess I just think it's important for the general public. I think about public relations all the time, and it's important for the general public to know that there are a lot of great sex workers who do a lot of good in the world. And they handle a lot of guys, you know, mostly guys, somewhat couples and girls, but mostly guys, and some gender fluid people, but mostly guys, and they handle a lot of guys that, you know, need handling, need help, and need sexual healing that sex workers provide in different ways, whether it's beating them or beating them off, you know. Anyway, I just hope that, you know, Bigger Than Sex can further that, showing sex workers to be wonderful human beings, because we are.
No, that's a very good point. And I'm going to ask Joy, maybe they are doing something about it that I'm not even aware of, but that'd be very good information to provide you. And it's funny you bring that up with the gratitude videos. I was hoping that was going to be captured, because the goal of the gratitude videos is to show diversity in sex work, not just porn stars or dominatrices, because usually the general public thinks that a sex worker is just someone that has sex,
right?
Like intercourse for money. We're so much bigger than that. That's just a small piece of the pie. And with the gratitude videos, I feel like it humanizes us. You don't see sex workers being grateful like that. I have never seen anything like that.
Right.
And you don't see like six different types of sex workers in one video.
I do think it's a great thing to show that sex workers have friends and have inspiration. You know, we have people that we thank, and I'm glad that I was included. I'm a sex therapist, and I consider myself a sex worker. And so, you know, there are many different types of sex worker. Right. So anyway, I'd love to have you back when you're a little further along. Any closing message you want to leave with our audience here, each of you? I don't know who wants to go first.
I'll go. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure. I'd love to have you in any way or form for the movement, and I look forward to being back. So thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, I'm excited to be at the birth of a new movement that is, pro-sex worker and pro-humanizing of sex work. And what would you like to leave people with, Lilith Cat? Meow!
Meow. Yeah, I want to thank you as well for having me on the show. This has been very interesting. I've never been interviewed with Lexa at the same time, so... This has been very cool. And I'm excited to see what's next for the movement. We did the shots for donations this week. So I don't know. What are we going to do next week?
I'm excited to find out.
Don't do heroin next, you know. stick with the shots. I don't know. Well, you could do tokes of marijuana, I guess. It's legal in most states now. So I guess one thing interesting to watch maybe is how the marijuana movement operates, you know, because it's another kind of stigmatized thing that puts people in jail, you know, and sex work, I mean, it's a pleasure. It's, you know, it's something that needs to be public relationed. Anyway, you guys are doing it. So I appreciate it. I want to see what happens with it. And good luck. Okay. Go Bonobos. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
King Lexa and Lilith Katz. Yes. Very... beautiful women, both of them, really, really beautiful. Of course, while I was talking to them, I was so interested in what they were saying, I wasn't thinking about how beautiful they are. But now that they're gone, I can say, wow, hot, 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 in totally different ways, but they go together. And that's why they're girlfriends. Anyway, brothers and sisters, we're almost at the end of the show. And Dominatrix is against Donald Trump, and I believe that Lilith is in this issue of Speakeasy magazine, Spankin' Art. And speaking of that, a lot of Doms are, of course, in Spank and Art, and I am going to be the mistress of ceremonies for DomCon 2020. So that's going to be August 28th through 30th, I believe. Let me see. Do I have it on a note? August 28th through 30th. And so, yeah, you should drop in. I mean, it's not as good. It's not as fun. It's not as intimate as a real in-life DomCon. But on the other hand, it is probably cheaper. I mean, I don't know what it is to join the site at domcon.com, but I'm sure it's less than, you know, staying at the hotel and going to the convention. So sign up. And we're going to have some people from DomCon on the show soon before we do it. And once more, thank you for inspiring us, Naked Athena. And everybody, the Wall of Moms, and the dads and the vets in the Battle of Portland. And, of course, they were sent very unsuccessfully by Donnie.
2 minutes.
I'm going to keep my mask on when I get near him because he's constant. I think he's one of those spreaders that doesn't show symptoms. That's how evil he is, and that's why I am spanking him. And just in case you're wondering, he is being gagged on a water pistol. That's right, it's non-lethal and a lot better for you than those rubber bullets and tear gas pepper spray right in the eyes. It's disgusting what people were doing, these federal goons in Portland, and so wonderful that they could be just chased out by the people, chased out, and especially the sexual woman, Naked Athena. All right, brothers and sisters, it is the Bonobo way. Yes, indeed. The Bonobo way is to make peace through pleasure. And yes, female empowerment. But the males are happy. And there's a lot more to it than that. It's complicated. But that's why I wrote a book about it. So you got to get the book. You got to give the Bonobo way. And you got to, well, what do you got to do, Max? We got 3 more minutes, right? So,
oh, we have 3
I mean,
more minutes.
One thing we were talking about the other day is, you know, of course, people can't be having regular sex unless it's with, you know, your monogamous partner. But bonobos are also about sharing resources, which is something that we humans need to learn, you know. I don't know if it's bigger than sex, but it's bigger than money. I think it is sex to share. Sex is about sharing. And that's why I say sex is the essence of life. Of
we're talking about
moving forward.
We're talking about recreational sex.
Yeah, even procreation,
you know,
is about sharing.
Yes, it's also about sharing. It's also about the poor planet.
Yeah, well, we shouldn't be popular. And you know what? It's funny. During the coronavirus, I have mixed feelings about this. During the coronapocalypse, people are having less sex, which I kind of think is bad because I'm a sex therapist. I think having sex is good. We're having about the same amount.
Yeah.
A lot of people are having less because I guess they can't stand each other. I guess that's what it comes down to. They're cooped up together and they drive each other crazy.
Oh, they're beating each other and shooting each
and
other.
They are, and, yeah, it's not just not having sex. It's like, a lot worse.
What are you doing?
You know, and...
what are you doing? Put those fucking guns away.
Really, this is a dangerous time, brothers,
you know,
and sisters.
You guys are mostly all you white terrorists up there are mostly drunk all the time. And you're on coke and you're on amphetamines.
Yeah, and drinking has gone up. And we're not talking about the drinking
and
for donations. Right, you know, and bad drugs. Anyway, whatever you do, make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. It doesn't have to be PIV, penis and vagina sex. There's all kinds of ways to make love. To share together, to share. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.
Talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk with us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination. My world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, and fantasize with you. And no fantasy is too taboo. And we help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. If you've never called before, don't be embarrassed. We all need help with sex at one time or another. Even world leaders do. Maybe especially world leaders do. But I'm not going to tell you which ones. So, when you need to ask a question, or play out a fantasy, or just talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, call us at 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, and I've just written a new book called The Bonobo Way, inspired by my love for the Make Love, Not War great apes. You know, the ones who have a lot of sex in a bonobo sutra of positions, including face-to-face. But it's not just how bonobos have sex. It's how they use sex to prevent murder and war. Really. They're the only great apes that have never been seen killing each other. They practice what I call peace through pleasure. With the females gently dominating the very happy, very sexually satisfied males, bonobos are special, partly because they just are, and partly because they're very, very close to us, almost 99% genetically similar to us. When it comes to being human, even being humane, bonobos can teach us so much. Which brings me to us, and more specifically to you. Is your inner bonobo longing to swing free? Would you like to tap into the hot, natural sex energy within you? Bet you would. So you can better enjoy the pleasures in life and cope with the pain. You know, the pain. And have more orgasmic, organic, sustainable sex. Who doesn't want that? Greater lust, greater trust, and better anger management. And who couldn't use a little bit of that these days? So get the book, Learn the Bonobo Way. You'll be glad you did. Then you'll want to join Bonoboville, a new global village for bonobo lovers and friends. And one last thing. The real bonobos are highly endangered, so a portion of all book sales go to bonobo conservation groups working to save the wild bonobos from extinction. Read The Bonobo Way and learn why this could be the most important eco-sexual movement of our times. And improve your love life.